Let's not go off our old preconceived ideas or our experiences of the past, our our old expectations. Let's come to the Lord afresh today and think of it as a relationship that you're cultivating this morning. Think of it as a friend that you're going to approach. Think of it as a person that you love deeply that you're going to approach. Because he's here right now. He's here in our midst. We don't have to conjure him up. He's here right now. And believe it or not, we're there as well. We're in the heavenly realm right now. Especially as more of us gather together, we create a place that heaven flows. Angels move. The glory of God manifests. Touches our bodies, touches our hearts, touches our very being. So would you stand with me and we're going to start to worship. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made. And we're going to praise you in it. We're going to worship you in it. We're going to give you the honor that you're due. I pray, Lord, that there would just be, Lord, a environment here that would reflect heaven, an environment here, Lord, that would allow us to hear your voice more clear, an environment here that allow us to see your face, to see your glory. We approach the throne of grace right now, Lord, as a people. We come before you, Father, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for what he's done for us and the sacrifice that you made by sending your one and only Son, your beloved. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for being the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. We thank you, Jesus, that you're the one that has redeemed us and bought us back so that we are your purchased possession now. And so as that individual that you have made us, it was your choice. You chose us. We didn't choose you. We come before you now with open hearts. We come before you now, Lord, with an expectation to draw closer to you, Lord. We know your word says as we draw close to you, you're going to draw closer to us. So we want to rest in your loving arms today, Lord. We want to just bask in your presence. We don't want to go through any motions today, Lord. We want to have reality of relationship. So we receive, Lord. We receive you into our hearts afresh today. We receive you, Lord, into this place today. However you want to move, whatever you want to do, we give you openness, opportunity, Lord. We do not resist. We give up. We surrender. Have your way.
invincible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Shout your praise forevermore, Jesus.
Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Come and consume God, all we are.
us. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Living and breathing him out. And the people around us are affected by that. So live and breathe him in. Guys, we have five senses. And we use those senses in our natural realm, but let's use it in the supernatural realm, the reality that we're supposed to be living in. Our true reality. And then let's live and breathe those out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for shedding your blood. So that we have redemption in you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Abba. Heaven breathe.
Surrender all that I can have you. Coming to
control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you.
The image that I keep getting, and I've read something like this before, but what I got is a little bit different. So you have this jar, and it's filled with this totally dirty water. And imagine a beach, and you're walking out to the water, and you just dump the entire thing in the ocean. And we know that the ocean's going to wash all that away. And then when you put the jar, like you dip it in the water, everything that is that ocean is in that jar. Yourself. And I don't know about you, but I would want to be that full of Jesus, but that is just everything that I am, and it's unmistakable.
Right on.
From this moment here, guys, there's going to be something birthed in us that's going to bear fruit. And it just comes down to knowing who we are. And when we look at Jesus, we're not looking into a window. He's not a window of our failure, showing us how much better he was. He's a reflection. We need to stop identifying with sin. Galatians says, was crucified with Christ. Like Paul says in Romans, awareness of the law made us aware of sin. And being sin conscious leads to destruction. But being conscious of the Spirit is life. So God, today, give us your eyes, God. Give us your eyes to see into the mirror, the reflection of who you've created us to be. For too long we've seen you as a window. A window doesn't give near the reflection we need to be. We want to capture your heart, Jesus. We need to capture your heart, Jesus.
Something we've been practicing in our home is, and Glenn, you'll probably have to help me, but I'm very simple. I like things simple so I can understand them, so I can relate them and make them practical to my life. I've got a lot going on, and so, you know, if I can get directly there, I can get in touch with the Father and go from there. What we believe is a product of what we think. Right, Glenn? And then
what we think is rooted in what we believe.
Okay.
And what we feel is rooted in what we think. Does that make sense?
No, put it in order.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
Everything that we think, that we feel, is a product of the way that we think about things. And the ways that we think are results of what we believe about something.
So it goes, we believe, and then what we believe, we think, and then what we think, we feel. So I'm really emotional, right? So I allow my emotions to control me, but no longer, right? Because what I believe is my identity is rooted in Christ, and what I look like is I look like Him. So when I believe that I look like my Father and my brother, Jesus Christ, then what I think is His brain, right? I have the mind of Christ, and so what I feel is love, basically, because what? God is love. So I don't allow my feelings to rule my emotions and what I think and what I act like. I don't get offended by other people. My children don't control how I treat them. That's my biggest thing that I'm working on. And that's really hard for me. But I'm declaring today that I believe that I look like Him, and so that I think that way, and I have the mind of Christ. And so that's how I feel. Amen.
Amen.
Like Jesse said, a couple of hiccups. The word says that, you know, we're new creations.
Right.
And that means that whatever we were before we became in Christ, we no longer are. So what Lot is saying is it does not matter what the past has shown her, or even what her, and it may have been 2 seconds ago, those emotions that she was feeling because of the circumstances. The truth is, that's not who she is. And the truth is, that's not who you are. When you behave or you operate or you function contrary to what that new creation is, that is a lie. That's bottom line, it is a lie. It's a false impression. because we are new creations. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are brand new living beings, not the old. And this is one of our biggest battles. I think last week I talked a little identity, who we are, the very core of who we are has to be dealt with. Has to be dealt with. And maybe that just means you need to get alone with God and get to the place where you deal with it. Because it's not something that can just lay hands on you and you're okay. I'm telling you right now. It's not something you can read the Bible enough and you're okay. It's something where you have to connect with God in such a way that there is no doubt that you're a new creation. So even when the circumstances show different, that's not the truth. Even when all things look opposite to that, it's not the truth. Amen. Amen. Thank you, team. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we made it through it. Good job, Jess. Were you scrambling up there a little bit? Just a little. It's working. Okay, good. Yeah, give Jesse a big round. All right. So for those of you with children today, we're going to be staying up. We don't have any child care. So I am your teacher. So if I'm talking too much over your head or you can't understand it, then just come up and pull on my pastor. I don't understand what you're saying. Whoa. Hello. I moved. I'm going to stand here for a second. You couldn't hear me. Is this a testing 1, 2, 3? So should I just stand here? What? I don't have a strong voice. It's like, boy, that scared me. There's no fear, right? But I was like, it's just like, what am I doing? Okay, can I move? Let me try. That was a very powerful. Oh, it's rumbling. Oh, 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 oh. Should I switch mics? No. Nope, we're going to get it. Okay, guys. Remember, family is not perfect, right? Do it again. You like that rumbling. I don't have to move. He's got it going on. It's like I'm in a monitor or something that's feeding back. Okay, I'm trying to speak loudly. I'm speaking loudly. I jinxed it? What did I say? Everything went smoothly? I don't believe in jinxing, but it's like, it's still going smoothly, right? Are you getting it, Jess? Can I move? Or it seemed like any time I turned or did anything. What? Got to keep fighting it. Okay. Oh, it's doing it again. Okay, should I like come out here? Nope, it doesn't like anything I'm doing. I don't know what it is. All I know is like I feel like I'm some kind of magnetic field here affecting everything. Hey, this could be part of the sermon illustration, for all I know. Okay, I was going to prepare that video, but I didn't have time, so I don't know if anybody's good enough to go up to Easy Worship, and you should be able to go to the webpage, and go to YouTube and find a heart math beyond words. Huh? That is good, and it will help today with what I'm trying to communicate. I was going to try to do a couple others, but needless to say, the soundboard took my attention this morning. So if you would turn with me in your word, the Bible, to John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. The power of the heart. Josh is going to, you know which one I'm talking about, Josh? Yeah, you saw it. Okay, Josh is going to help you. It's in the Bible, John, chapter John. It'll be on YouTube. Yeah, Gay and I always kid each other. Oh, and Pastor Gay will be back next week for you guys, and she will be back tomorrow for me. And Timmy. We've missed Mom. Tim goes, when's Mom coming home? It's like, can you say it a little different? Because it sounds like desperation. She'll be home Monday. Oh, good. Okay, so New King James Version. This is described in a lot of your Bibles as the promise of the Holy Spirit. Verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So this scripture, for years, I would quote. Many of you probably heard it in even encounters when it was coming to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it does apply to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's not just the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because when we say baptism of the Holy Spirit, we all get this picture that that just means speaking in tongues. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the full submersion of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let me tell you this. Even the word Holy Spirit sometimes frames the picture of who Holy Spirit is. That word Spirit means breath. Listen, when Lotta was sharing that we breathe in God, folks, we do. The Spirit of God is not just, you know, in us. Just because we're believers, the Spirit of God covers. That's what drew us. He's all over every place. But we are baptized, submerged in the Holy Spirit. Now, the problem is we get to a certain place in our walk, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit becomes another experience that we had that we operate in almost a traditional state. And there's times that, you know, we pray in the Spirit. Especially like when, you know, we don't know what to do, because we know when we pray in the Spirit, pray with our heavenly language. And folks, to pray in the Spirit doesn't just mean pray in a heavenly language. I'm telling you, praying in the Spirit can also mean your spirit crying out with words that you can understand. But there's times when we have the gift of the Holy Spirit to speak in an unknown language. I pray in the Spirit a lot, in the shower, walking around, but the thing is that it was a pigeonholed thing in my life. And I only would let it go so far because it was what I believed. Back to what we believe. What we believe causes us to stay in a certain place. So what I want to do is I want to break down this verse a little bit today, so that we can understand that it is not just a one-time experience. It's not just a time that we're just praying, you know, and it's a special moment, and we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We pray in tongues one time. We never pray again, or we pray, you know, flowing out one time. We never pray again. Or it's not just about when we just pray for an hour We pray for a morning. We pray for, you know, whatever our devotion times is. It's not when we just pray in a crisis time. This is a continual type thing that we're supposed to be doing. And we have, I have limited it to certain moments. Even though I know that life is flowing out of me, there's something in this that I want us to capture today. Is everybody following me? Okay. Kind of. So let's look at this, verse 37 and 38. Well, I'm not going to go back to 39 because we know that that's talking about the Holy Spirit. But it's also talking about something about us. So listen to this. Verse 37, the Amplified Version. Now, on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice. Another place said he shouted. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So it's interesting that there's a start to this. We come and we drink. We come and we partake. We come and we, in some places, feast on him. We come and we take what he is offering. And it's not just a one-time taking. We come and we receive. Are you guys finding okay? Good. We come and we receive what is waiting for us. Because see, this gift is for anyone, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is waiting for us to be filled with, filled to overflowing. But there's an action on our part. We need to come. And do we come one time? See, I thought, I come, I get saved, I'm thirsty. Okay, now I have the Holy Spirit. So what happens 10 years later when it gets dry? I've got to try to conjure him up again, right? Got to try to get to a place where somebody can lay hands on me or I can experience an experience that will, you know, cause me to be excited again. But this is a daily coming to drink. It's like we understand about communion now. It's something that we get to do. Not something we have to do, we get to do. How many know that Jesus is a drink waiting to be drank every time? You know, he is waiting for us to guzzle him down. I'm going to use some expressions because, you know, when you're really thirsty, have you guys ever been like really thirsty? Come out of a hot working time. Sometimes when I get done mowing lawn, I'm so parched and I come in and Gail watch me and I'll guzzle, you know, 32 ounces. You know, just that's what it's like. And somebody say, well, hi, Pastor, this is weird language because how do we drink Jesus? You know, how do we eat Jesus? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. If you have to, pour yourself a glass of water. Say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying pour yourself a glass of water so you can activate your faith. If you're dry and you feel like you're just dead man's bones, well, go get a big cup of water and pour it and say, Lord, I'm going to participate with this water like it's you, and I'm going to drink. I'm going to drink you in. Does this sound weird? It's activating your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things unseen, but we have to participate in it. Faith just doesn't happen. Faith takes us to initiate something. You know, it's like when you're sick, you know, sometimes the initiation of faith is saying, Lord, help me, I'm sick. You're calling out to him. You're crying out for him. You're not accepting your status quo, where you're at the present moment. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me. You know, it's interesting because even the word in is not really showing us what it's about. Believes in me. You know, we think, well, I believe in Jesus. You know, you believe in the sun. You believe in the moon. Hopefully, right? Everybody believes in the sun and the moon. Not, Jesse will give you a science lesson in astronomy when we're done here. But the point being is that we believe in those. But you don't believe in those like Jesus wants you to believe in him. It's not believing that he exists. It's not believing that even that he's just your savior. This word is the word eis in the Greek. It's E-I-S, you know, it's the way it looks. It's not really quite an S. Greek is different. But the point being, it means to go into something. It's saying to believe into Jesus. Well, how do you believe into Jesus? By faith in the Spirit. But it's not just a broad term, you just believe in him. It's another King James way it puts it, believe unto Jesus or onto Jesus. But this word ice means you walk into something with a purpose. Like when you walk into your house to go do something, maybe it's just watch TV, go to bed, have dinner, get out of the heat. There's a purpose while you're doing it. So this believing into Jesus here is for the purpose of what? Of receiving from him. Receiving the life that's waiting for us. See, the thing is that we should not have a vacancy of his presence in our lives. We should not be existing with miserable days. Moments, maybe, but we should not be in a place where hope is lost. Where it feels like there's no getting through this day. Because he is waiting for us to step into him and to drink him in and to receive what he has for us. Let's hear what he has for us. He who cleaves and trusts in me and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs of and rivers of living water. Here's the New Living Translation. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For as the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." The message says it this way. On the final and climactic day of the feast, Jesus took his stand. He cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me this way, just as the scriptures say." Now, I want to use a translation. I've used it a few other times. It's called the Jonathan Mitchell translation. It's only in the New Testament. It's like the Amplified on Amplification. Because if you were to, most of the time I find this, if you were to go and study the Greek words to their depth, you will find that most likely Jonathan Mitchell has picked up on the depths of those words. For instance, let me give you a for instance. We use the river word river here. But literally, when that Greek word was being used in the New Testament, it was most likely translated flood. Now, I don't know about you, but a river and a flood to me is different. A flood is something that is going out of control. A flood is something that's spilling out into everything. So a flood is like a torrent. A river could be a little calm one. Now, rivers can be pretty mighty, but a flood, I think, describes something different. How about this word, belly, or innermost being? Now, when this Greek word was translated every other time, the same Greek word. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Greek. Greek has different tenses and different uses, kind of iterations, the way that it's used. And this particular word, when it was used every other time except this one, it was the translation of womb. It was what a baby was born in. Now, obviously, men, we don't have physical wombs. But what it's saying here is there's something inside of us, every person, that when God fills it, it's ready to give forth birth. It's ready to give birth to something. And that is a flood. So let's read Jonathan Mitchell as I'm already taking his thunder away. Now, within the last day, the great one of the feast or festival, Jesus, after having taken a stand, stood and then suddenly cries out, saying, if ever anyone may continue, see, may continue. It's picking up a tense in the Greek that none of these other ones were picking up. It's a continuing of being thirsty. It's a habitually coming to him, towards him. That we, it says face-to-face here, it's a face-to-face type of coming to Jesus. So this is not just us, oh Lord, I'm thirsty. This is us going in our hearts before the throne of grace. Take that cup of water and just put it through the veil. Don't leave it here. Put it through the veil and say, now Lord, I'm going to say this is you and I'm going to drink you in like never before. I know it sounds crazy, but listen, we have lived our Christian walk for so long where it's all about what's in our head. It's all about what we think and how we believe, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we miss the action. We miss the depth of following through with something. Remember Pastor Josh taught a while back, and he said, you know, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open their door, they hear my voice and they open the door. What's he going to do? He's going to come in, he's going to sit down, and he's going to dine with us. And then it says, we dine with him. That's a very intimate expression that God's saying. Now, this was a church that was having real problems, but Jesus says, I want to come in, and I want to dine with you. I'm knocking. I'm waiting to come. And so he said, hey, let's just all picture. Close our eyes. And yes, close our eyes. That usually works best for me because when I see a whole bunch of stuff around, I get really distracted and squirrel. But he had us open the door and invite Jesus in. I think he even was like pretending to knock. Now some of you say, well, that's just ridiculous. Why do we have to do that? We have to do that because we are beings that if we don't get some kind of interaction, it's hard for us to grasp it. Does anybody else have these difficulties? I mean, when it just stays up in my mind without any pick, that's why I like holding communion. I don't mind going, you know, just beyond the veil, but it's hard for me. But when I can hold it and then step beyond the veil, I have something tangible in my hands. Is this making sense? Good, because I was wondering if it would. Okay. If ever anyone may continue being thirsty, let him be habitually coming toward me, and let him constantly, progressively, constantly, habitually, repeatedly drink. So see, this Greek in here is saying this is a constant thing that we do. This is not just a one time. This is not for special events. This is not for Sunday morning. This is not for Bible studies. This is for a continually, constant thirsting and drinking of God. You see why we have to be poor in spirit? Because if you're not poor in spirit, guess what? You're not going to hunger. You're not going to desire because you're going to think you're full. Folks, we are the furthest from being full. I'm telling you right now, if we could see ourselves spiritually in the mirror of how much. Now, the thing is, in Christ, we're completely full, but how much of that do we manifest and walk out? It's very limited. We would probably see ourselves naked and poor and wretched because of the fullness of God that's in us that has not activated. And why hasn't it activated? Because we have not engaged with it. We have not gotten to the place where we say, you say this, Lord, so I'm going to believe it. I'm going to drink of you. And if you don't have a thirst, if you say, well, I don't even thirst for him, well then, you know, you need to get to a place where you're dry and parched. You see yourself as dry and parched. Because even if you think you're not thirsty, most likely you're dry and parched. You may be even starving. The person continuously trusting and progressively believing into me, just as the scripture says, rivers or floods, torrents. of living water will continuously flow or gush out of us. Listen, what this is saying, put this down. We have a place in us that is God's territory. It's where you know he moves and lives and has his being in us. Does that mean that he's not in my hand? No, but there's a depth, someplace deep inside of us. And I believe, folks, it really has to do with our heart. This blood pump has a lot more going on than we realize. And I'll show you here in a minute just a little bit of what's going on. I mean, it's hard for us to grasp the invisible. And even when, you know, you have a real spiritual moment and you sense some things, afterwards, how many, like, afterwards say, was that real? And you just kind of question it, and it's like, I know I thought that, but, and it takes a while before we realize that we do hear the voice of God, that we are led by the Spirit. And even sometimes, again, when we're led by the Spirit to do something, if it messes up, we go, maybe I didn't hear God. So we're questioning these things. But I'm here to tell you that science is proving, starting to really prove that there is another realm, and that we're not trapped in this time even like we think we are. You know, the Bible says we're seated in heavenly places. Most people can't relate to that. You know, I have to purpose in my heart, okay, I'm putting myself in a seat up there, and I don't see anything, but I'm just believing that you said I am, so why would I be seated next to Jesus? Well, it'd be to rule, to have authority. And so, Lord, that authority has got to show up in my life. So I just ask for you to make that a reality, Lord, that I'm seated with you, that there is an expression here on the earth that will manifest because of me being in heavenly places. Because just to be in heavenly places and then nothing happen out down here, that would kind of be a waste. It would. I mean, it would be great if I could, you know, spend time with God every single day face to face. But if I never came back from that time and lived differently, showed his glory, loved like he would love, you know, experienced, you know, life like he experienced life, he went in full force, man. He didn't hold back. And he had that expression that the Father wanted to display here. It says, hey, listen, if you see me, you've seen how the Father would express himself if he was here. You know, because so many people thought, well, the Father was this way and Jesus was that way, so he could not be representing God, but he was fully representing God. He was fully the expression of an invisible God here on earth. And why? Because he had that relationship with the Father. And that's what we're to have. So here we are. We come, we're thirsty. Even if you're not thirsty, you're drinking of Jesus. You're taking him in. See, so many of us think that the Holy Spirit's just going to always, there's something that we got to put in maybe to create this catalyst that it will flow like never before. Intimacy is a catalyst. Did you know that? As we do get closer to God, as we experience his presence, we then display him. So here we are. We're pressing in and we're asking, Father, I want to have this womb of mine, this place where you reside, to overflow. Do whatever you need to do in me to make it happen. That means if you have to take things out of my life, if you have to put things in my life, if you have to remove lies, if you have to help me experience truth, whatever it may be, there's rivers, torrents, floods of living water that's just ready to flow out of you. And you know what? I always was thinking that was just so that I could live a good Christian life. But what would happen if we, as believers in this day and age, flooded the power of God out of us to the place where we couldn't even contain it? We can't even stop it.
Someone says, you got to stop that because, you know, you're starting to offend people. I can't stop it. It's flooding out, you know. I'm just a product of what God's doing inside of me, and I can't stop it. I can't put a cork in it. I can't turn the valve off. It's flooding. What would happen? Would our world change? I think it would change. Would our personal environment change? I think so. You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And most of us have no clue the depths of how intricate we are. I'm going to show you a little clip here. Are we ready to go? You're not? Oh, okay. Jesse's back there taking a nap. Wow, that's just not good to do during... No, he's not taking a nap. I think he's uploading an audio or something. Are you going to hit the lights, Josh? Yeah. Or turn them off, actually. Hitting them might break them, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to set this up. This is a video clip by a corporation called HeartMath, and they have for the last 20-something years been studying the human heart. Now, this is just one small clip from a movie called Beyond Words. Now, the movie's called The Power of the Heart. And the thing is, folks, some of you say, well, you know, that's that place has like New Age background. The problem when we do that is we can close out when you say, oh, that's science. That's not the Bible. Folks, we have to get to the place where when things are being exposed to us, truth is being exposed to us, we don't look at the label of where it came from. We should be able to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit to know when they're getting off track. And if we don't, then we need to get to a place where we know our word. We need to get to the place where we can trust the Holy Spirit. We've been operating in so much fear for so long that churches have closed pretty much all the pews down from somebody being able to stand up and speak because they're afraid of what somebody's going to say. We cannot operate like that anymore. So just wanted to give you a little precursor of that. That's if you go and look, oh, man, look what he showed us. But the truth of this study is what I want you to get. Okay, go ahead and play it. Try the space bar. Yeah, it is a good picture. I can explain if you want me to, but that's going to be the same impact. Okay, do you guys want me to go up there and space bar? Try the space bar. Okay, hang on a second. I'm going.
Okay, so I'm coming down now. Okay, so this is on YouTube. I'll show up here in a second. This is on YouTube, and you guys can get to it by going to HeartMath, The Power of the Heart, so you can watch it on your own. But this is what it's showing. There is a test that they do, and many other labs have done this now. And what they do, they put a subject in front of a computer screen, and they basically let there be about 6 seconds of dark, and then they're going to see, click the mouse button. So they click the mouse button, and what will happen is that a random of 30 images, they'll randomly come up, will come up before them. And some of them are images of like a car crash, some are like a snake ready to bite them. And so it causes their heart to react, causes their brain to react. Sometimes they jump, they get startled. Good. We needed, there we go, okay. That's what the sharp sound was. It wasn't the sound system again.
We did an experiment here at HeartMath to study how the information flows between the heart and the brain. And we actually discovered something quite remarkable, something that surprised us. The image was randomly selected to be shown on the screen. So nobody could know what this future picture was going to be. The heart had a much greater deacceleration than if it was going to be a calm picture. These results have since been replicated in many different independent labs around the world, actually. Well, a lot of people say that I don't feel it in my heart, I feel it in my gut. But here's what's really happening. The information comes to the heart first. The heart then sends a different signal to the brain, which we can measure. Then you have a brain response, and then a body response. And with the body response, like the feeling in the gut or the hair on the back of the neck, is where it becomes conscious. But the real flow of information is heart, brain, body. And this is all happening many seconds before the actual event occurs. So what this body of research is telling us is that the heart seems to be connected to a type of intuition that is not bound by the limits of time and space. But what is that source of intuition? What is the heart connected to? And how can we learn to tap into more of that?
So did everybody catch that? What was happening is that 5 seconds before those pictures were being shown, the heart knew what kind of pictures they were going to be. Now, this is, anybody happens. This is not believers. So think about this. There is a spiritual, supernatural side to us even before we're saved. I remember when I was a young kid, I had this intuition, this impression on the field at our school, and I said, listen, somebody's going to get hurt today. And so what I ended up doing was going and telling the teacher. I mean, and they said kids were coming with scraped knees and elbows, you know, and I said, no, it's a serious hurt. Somebody's going to get seriously hurt today. It's going to be bad. And so he wrote it up on the board, and so nothing happened at school. Went home. A swing set fell on me. Gashed my head, and I was gushing out blood. I wasn't saved. I didn't know God. But I'm here to tell you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, take this to a whole new level. Now we have God inside of us that's activating this heart. You know, Jesus knew what was in the heart of men. Jesus knew their thoughts. You know, Jesus knew the name of Zacchaeus in the tree. Why? Because he was connected with that, not intuition that's just normal for humans. He was connected with the divine of God. He was overflowing. See, Jesus was the epitome of the Spirit of God flowing out of him. Peter was, when Peter walked, and they said that it was a shadow, it was his being that was radiating that glory. That's probably about the distance of his shadow. So what does this mean for us? It means that we need to press in. We need to not take our normal Christian walk for granted anymore. We need to not, you know, get to the place where we're comfortable. I know you hear this a lot, but it's the truth. There's a reality out there that even unbelievers are chasing after. Because it's like there's an awakening going on in the world. And we should be the most awakened. We should be the most alert. We should be the ones saying, you know what? I got the answer to the human heart question. I can tell you the source. I can tell you what's going on. I can tell you how to bring fulfillment to this broken heart. But if it's not in us, folks, they're just words. They really are. Until, I'm getting an echo, until we're fully thirsting on God every single day, drinking on him every single day, allowing this flood to come out of us every single day, we're not going to have the answer that people are looking for. Out of our womb, this place of birth, should flow torrents, floods of living water that should bring life to every other being. You know, it's funny because that word living, every other time that it was used, it was just like describing our living God. This is a divine life. This is a life that to those things that are dying should restore and bring back to life. We are the answer for the world today. Jesus is the answer for the world today, but we are here on earth as him. We are his representation. Just as Jesus was the representation, the image of the invisible God, that's what we're to be today. And some of you say, well, I don't deserve that. I'm not qualified for that. No, absolutely in yourself, you never would be. But in God, you're fully qualified. In God, you're fully ready to be his image here on earth today. But it's going to take you setting time aside. This can't be done on a Sunday morning. This can't be done with just simple reading of your word, devotional every day. It can start it, but it's going to take a passion. It's a time of day for passion. It's a day to really evaluate what we do, how we do it, how we live. And I'm saying that with hopefully encouragement, not condemnation, because I don't want you to be condemned. Because this should be the most uplifting news that we've ever heard, because we get to be who we're called to be. It's not being put on us, it's being offered. But we have to embrace it. And it will take stepping out of your comfort zone. Matter of fact, why don't you stand up? We're going to do a little exercise. I think exercises are good. I don't physically exercise that much. But we're going to do a little exercise here. What I want you to do is I want you to hold out your hands. We're going to imagine we're holding a cup. You close your eyes if you have to. But we're not going to stay here. Father, we're coming before your throne of grace right now. And Jesus, you asked us to drink continually. So with me, would you just stick out your cup and just ask God to fill it? Fill this cup, Lord, with all of you. Fill this cup, Lord, with those waters that you told that woman that we would never thirst again. Fill it to overflowing right now, Lord. And you can do this however you want. If you want to pour it on you, if you want to physically, you know, make it look like you're drinking, but let's just take it in right now. Jesus, we just drink this living water. We drink you as the source. We just release, Lord, your full work in our being right now. Let the floods rise up. Let the torrents come, Lord. Let the raging waters come out of us, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to go beyond what we consider to be what's understanding and what's understood and what's the natural into your spiritual realm, Lord. Help us to learn to worship you in spirit and in truth, in reality, Lord, and in breath. We just submit ourselves into your mighty hands today, Lord, and we just ask that you would allow our hearts to come alive to you. Come alive with the Spirit of God. Come alive with your presence. Help us to no longer suffer the decay of the fall, but to be restored in who you are in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Any questions? Amen. Praise God. Did you sense something? Praise God. Well, sometimes you don't sense it. Sometimes you just do this by faith. Sometimes we don't try and keep doing things because we don't sense it with our natural being. But that's not good. Because it may take a while before we truly sense it. What if we don't ever sense it? Is it still true? If we never see God face to face, can we still come to him in our hearts? Absolutely. Anytime. But I believe this is a generation of face to face. This is a generation where our faith will become even more greater sight. Amen. God bless you all. Love you. And if you have any questions, and again, anybody wants to know how to get to that video or something, you can call me or I can send a link to you. Have a wonderful day.